This is KHOI Community Radio. Welcome to Local Talk, where we talk about people, the events, and the stories of Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with my co-host, Kay Patak.
Hello.
If you look for it, there is a Hindu community in Central Iowa, and most amazingly, there's a Hindu temple. If you're on Highway 30, just a little bit east of Boone, Highway 17th goes south to the town of Madrid, and about 6 miles south of Madrid, as you drive along Highway 17th, if you look to the west, near the Red Barn, you will see what you could easily mistake for a white silo.
At least from a distance, you could mistake it from that, yes.
But as you get closer, you discover that it's a beautiful Indian temple.
Yes, and I noticed it's a people probably, if they haven't seen it, they won't realize what a beautiful an unusual, at least unusual, certainly for Iowa, unusual structure it is. It's got a tower covered with representations of Indian deities that you can see out there in the cornfields from a long distance away. And as you come up to the temple, the main entrance, there's two big elephants flanking the entrance. And of course, there's all the Hindu deities in the temple hall itself.
November 17th will be the festival known as Diwali, or more properly known as
Deepavali, the Festival of Lights. And the festival is actually on November the 13th, but the big celebration they're going to have at the temple will be on the 17th, because that's a Saturday.
Kay, you spent some time in India?
I was teaching world literature, and because of this, I basically got a free two-month trip to India, which was wonderful. And I was studying Indian epics and how they're celebrated in India today. And the great Indian epic is the Ramayana. Rama is very closely associated with the festival of Diwali, or Diwali.
Rama is not a god, really. He's a king.
People didn't know he was a god. He was considered an incarnation of Vishnu, but he was just known as a king in his lifetime. Just, I suppose, as Jesus Christ, most people didn't know he was meant to be an incarnation of God. So it was the same with Rama.
Diwali is a celebration of his victory.
Right, victory over the demon king. And he comes back from the war, and his people, because he is a king, are so pleased to see him. They have this huge celebration, which is Deepavali,
the Festival of Lights. So this hour we will visit the temple, and with the gracious help of the temple minister and members of the Hindu community, we'll look at Hinduism as a religion and the meaning of this festival that's coming up.
Well, one of the members of this Hindu community is Mr. Gupta, and I spoke to him about the festival, about the building of the temple and the founding of the temple. So this is what he had to say about it. Mr. Gupta was in on the early stages of planning the temple, and I'd like you to tell us about that.
I've been involved in this project from the very initiation, in fact, from the talking stages. Let me give you a little background. Hindu community in Central Iowa was a very small community until 20, 25 years ago, but in the last 10, 15, 20 years, it has grown. We wanted to have a place to congregate, to worship, celebrate festivals and all, essentially a place to worship together. So in those days, we used to kind of get together at people's houses. Then we started thinking about building a place of our own. Our late Dr. Sahai was a very generous man, very religious man. Also, his priorities were education. So he said, we'll help you. If you decide to build, I'll give you 30, 35 acres of land about 5 miles south of Madrid. And that initiated the project. And then he came up with a $250,000 matching grant also. So that gave us a kind of a jump start on this project. Then we started thinking about it. The board was created in, I believe it was 99. The structure was built in 2002. It was formally opened in April of 2003. It's about 7,500 square foot facility, out of which the main central temple hall is about 3,500 to 3,700 square feet. So that's about even distribution, kind of. We are very fortunate that this land is near a river. In the Hindu religion, it is considered very auspicious to have a place of worship right next to the river.
And it's a community space also, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, all sorts of activities go on there.
In India, the Hindu religion is a combination of social things as well as religious things. So we decided that we will have those things as well as religious worship. Of course, everything starts with a worship in Hinduism.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say more about this big festival that's coming up, Diwali, the Festival of Lights.
It's a big function. We get about 1,000 to 1,200 people, sometimes even more. They gather together over there. We have the regular worship. Then we have individual prayers as well as group prayers. Then after that, we have a big dinner. You know, everybody is welcome. There are no restrictions, no religious or anything. Everybody is welcome over there. When you go inside the temple hall, after the dinner, they have fireworks. Mm-hmm. So there is something for everyone. Children love the fireworks, as you know. It is a big thing, and it ends after the fireworks. So the whole thing lasts about 2 to 2.5 hours.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Actually, I went to a Diwali festival. It must have been a few years ago now. And it really was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
A very party atmosphere.
Thank you. We really love it. We all enjoy it. And everybody looks forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Is it the biggest festival of the year?
It's a big thing. All festivals are big, but considering it is embraced by, it is celebrated all over the country, I would say yes, it is the biggest celebration. It's a celebrating the moment, celebrating the occasion. It's a spirit of the season. And a lot of our friends from other religion participate.
At this time of the year, it's called the Festival of Lights. A lot of ceremonies and a lot of religious traditions have lights at this time of the year. You see lights for Christmas, you have lights for Diwali, and of course you have fireworks for Guy Fawkes Night and for Diwali.
Yes.
So it seems natural when the days are getting shorter to want more light. Can you talk about the origins, the religious origins of the festival?
The Demon King and there was this Rama, the king of goodness, all that is good about life, all that is ideal. So basically there was big war between them, and at the end Rama won and he came back to his home. So, you know, this is a celebration of victory over evil.
That's from the Ramayana, is it?
Yes.
The Indian epic, the Ramayana.
Right.
Yes, which I know, and I didn't remember the connection with the festival.
This is connected to Rama and Ramayana, yes.
Right. Yes, Rama defeated the demon. He defeated him, and this went, his people were so glad when he came back after the battle. Yes. So it's symbolic of good conquering evil.
Yes.
And hence the lights
conquering
the darkness and so on.
Yes. Yeah.
Since we've started on this, could you give a beginner's introduction to Hinduism?
It's one of the oldest religions, actually perhaps the oldest religion in the world. So there is no definite date we can pinpoint when it started. It's a mixture of religious as well as social customs. So that's how we started. So it is one of the biggest religions, third biggest perhaps, after Islam and Christianity.
Well, thank you so much. And I just want to emphasize that anyone that wants to go at Diwali will feel very welcome. It's a very, very welcoming atmosphere,
yes.
I know, I thought, when
yes.
I was there. So would you like to tell people exactly again when it is,
yes.
The Diwali Festival?
It's on Saturday, November 17th. Celebrations start around 6 or so, and they last until 9:30, ending in the fireworks. So,
well, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It has been a pleasure.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg here with Kay Patak, and we're talking about a Hindu temple near Madrid, Iowa, and the upcoming festival called Diwali, or more properly known as Deepavali, the Festival of Lights. Kay, you went out to find out more about what's going on at the temple.
Right, yes.
The priest described how he performs a ceremony every morning to awaken the gods.
When I got there, he was drawing the curtains in front of all the shrines, and he was pulling them back and chanting and performing various rituals. So this is what he had to say about it. I'm at the Hindu temple south of Madrid, and I'm talking to the Swami here, who's just been doing some ceremonies.
My name is Dr. Khimananda Upreti. I am From India, I am a Hindu priest. I am minister in the temple.
Are you the only minister? Or is
just we have two ministers.
Two, yes.
Yeah. In my religion, I had studied continuously 17 years. I have two master degrees, and also I taught universities in India. But my community, Hindu community, they want me here. 2006, I joined this temple in the Madrid Highway 17, close to Divine River.
How do you like the cold weather in Iowa?
Yeah, I like cold weather because I'm from northern India.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is where is snowfall every winter. Then I used with snow. I don't like warm. That's why I didn't choose the warm place.
Right now, when I first came, the Swami was waking up the gods, he told me, because each one of them in their shrine had a curtain in front, and he was taking the curtain away, and you were, then you just told me that you've got to prepare some food for the gods.
Yes. Every morning we have invoking ceremony for the god. First we remove curtain, we open the door, and with chanting, with some prayer. After that, we give some bath to the god, and we cook food for the god. Then we offer cooked food for the god. And after that, we take back and we serve in the between the devotees as a blessing.
So the food that's prepared as an offering to the gods is later eaten by people?
Yes.
Yeah. When does that happen? When do they eat the food?
People, they will come in the evening after work. But weekends, we have lot of people and devotees. They come, they join priest is invoking just a religious service. And we make lot of foods and we serve to the devotees.
And I noticed you had lots of flowers everywhere. Were those real flowers?
Every month is first Saturday of the month. We have religious service for the main deities, for the Lord Vishnu. And every first Saturday in the 10:30, we start service. People, they come, they bring milk, yogurt, honey, juice, ghee, and sugar. Lot of things they bring, and they give hand over to the priest, and priest go inside and give bath to the god by milk, yogurt, honey, everything put over the on the deity. And then after that clean the fresh water, and again putting cloths and decorating the deities. And every month is first Saturday we order flowers, and then flowers comes from the New Jersey. Good garlands, and we decorate because everything is arranged very beautiful decoration for the god. That's why you've seen today as god is very beautiful and well decorated by flower and jewelry, everything.
And talking of the god's clothes, I wondered, they have the representations of the gods, the deities, and they've got real clothes on. Do those clothes change?
Yes. Every month, when we give bath to the god, and then we devotee, they are bringing cloths, flowers. Yes. Every time we change cloth. Once a month.
And I noticed the different shrines of the gods or goddesses, they're all different and they're differently decorated. Yes.
Hindu believe one God, just one supreme God. But his God came many, many times. Each times is a different form.
And you've got a big festival coming up.
Deepavali of the lights. We decorate light like a Christmas. This is like a Christmas for the Hindu community.
So this festival is as important to the Hindus as Christmas is to Christians.
Yes.
Yes. And it's called the Festival of Lights, I believe.
Yeah, Festival of Lights.
Yes.
Deepavali, we worship Goddess Lakshmi. Because Goddess Lakshmi, very auspicious in the evening when it's sunset, and worship, and we do lighting, and we do fireworks also, represent happiness. And more than thousands people, they join in this temple every year. More than thousands people. We don't have much space inside, but we put tent outside. If it's too cold, then we arrange heaters. We arrange very nicely, and people so happy every year.
What date would that be?
Actual date, according lunar calendar, this year is November 13th, is New Moon Day. Every year we celebrate when is New Moon is coming. This year New Moon coming in the 13th, but 13th is Tuesday, is people cannot come, every people they work. That's why temple is celebrating November 17th, 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm. November the 17th at 5 p.m. Yeah. And that's just when things start, and
yes.
After that it gets better and better, I guess.
Yeah.
Ending in fireworks.
Yes.
There's no chairs. They've got beautiful rugs,
yes,
all over the floor, and you can sit on the floor. And
we do not sit in the chair front of the God, because God is supreme. If we are sitting in the floor, then we are sitting front of the God feet, like
right, respectful.
Yeah, respectful.
Mm-hmm. And will you be here tomorrow doing the same ceremonies for the
yes.
gods? So you're here every morning?
Every morning.
Cooking food for the gods,
yes.
waking them up, as you
yes.
said?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
है ये तेरी मोहब्बत है ये पी
So, Kay, you and I went out on Saturday morning to witness this ceremony and take part in it, actually, with a few other members of the Hindu community. We drove out. It was a beautiful morning with very blue sky. And as we drove south on 17 after Madrid, on our right, we saw in the distance this gleaming white structure. And then the more we approached, we began to see the intricate carvings. We turned onto the driveway named after
Mr. Sahai, the person that originally gave the land and was a big donor for the building of the temple.
There's a lawn in front of the temple where you can stand and admire the beauty of this building. The tower is white, and it gleamed in the sun and all these different figures on it. And in the front, the steps going up were two elephants.
Flanking the steps.
Literally the size of what a baby elephant would be. Kay, talk to us a little bit about the elephants.
Yes, I noticed right away that they have their trunks reared up. Each one has got a carved wreath. Now, this is quite common in India. If you're considered an important guest or an important person, there will be an elephant there sometimes to greet you and to put a wreath around your neck. So these elephants are there greeting all the people that come and welcoming them with a wreath.
We entered the temple. We took off our shoes. And as we did so and began to approach the temple area, we could hear chanting. So we come in, and there's what looks like the Swami and a man who is in a white t-shirt and white pants and a cloth wrapped around him, who must be a priest. And they're chanting and taking what looks like large feather fans.
And it's a sign of respect.
And as we sit down on the rugs, the floor is a beautiful, shiny brown granite with multiple Persian rugs on the floor. So we sit down on the rugs, and after a short period of time, the Swami and the priest very graciously beckon for us to come forward to receive blessing. And so we stand in the front of the room is the a large altar, and we stand in front of there, and they tell us to put our hands out and place a little bit of milk in the hand, and the priest smiles at me very engagingly and says, "It's milk, drink it." And then he takes a metal object that has little feet on top of it, and he puts it over
our heads. Over that's our a sign heads. Of we're basing ourselves to the God, and the God is putting his feet on our head.
Right, and he smiles at us and very sweetly says, "It's the feet of the gods." And then they continue to chant, and they invite us to sit back down on the rug. And a family comes in, they ring a bell, and they sit down and they begin chanting as well. And at the front is a large shrine for Vishnu, to whom this temple is dedicated.
Yes, there's Vishnu and his consort, Parvati, so the male and the female aspects of the deity are there at the front.
And Vishnu has a dark complexion and four hands.
Right, but when you turn around, it's easy to miss it because there's so much richness and so many statues. But when you might notice over the door, there's a statue of a reclining god, and that is Vishnu between incarnations, resting.
The temple provides a description of how the sage, Bhrigu, who encountered Vishnu, who did not originally acknowledge him, and this sage kicked him in the chest, and Vishnu apologized, and the sage decided that Vishnu was the most supreme image of the gods. So Vishnu's consort was angered that Vishnu apologized to the sage and left him. Forlorn, Vishnu took abode in an anthill, and Brahma...
He's the mystery that's behind all the incarnations, really, of all the gods.
He took pity on Vishnu, and together with Shiva, assumed the forms of a cow and a calf. And the king of the county bought the cow and the calf and sent them to graze with the cattle herd on the same hill where Vishnu's anthill existed. Gave him milk and fed him. And when the cowherd discovered that this cow was giving milk at the anthill instead of producing milk for the cowherd, he got angry and he aimed a blow with his axe at the cow's head. However, Vishnu rose up to receive the blow and save the cow. And when the cowherd saw this lord bleed, he died of shock. The king, who owned the cow, investigated, and there was an encounter between him and Vishnu, which ended in a curse on the king to be broken only when Vishnu was married. Vishnu decided to stay in the area. So another king named Akara Raja found a baby child in a lotus flower on the ground, and he named her Parvati. One day, as she was growing up, Vishnu was pursuing an elephant, which led him to her garden. The elephant saluted Vishnu and disappeared, but this encounter between Vishnu and Parvati eventually led to their marriage. The temple in Madrid celebrates their divine union, and we were given milk.
Yeah. They pour a little milk into your hand.
The sides of the room are lined with shrines with the various incarnations of the deity. As the ceremony continues, Kay and I begin to walk around the room to look at the different deities. With the help of a booklet and Kay's knowledge of the deities, we explore who these different deities are.
This is Durga.
Durga is widely worshipped. She's a personification of universal energy, and her vehicle is a lion.
There were some monsters or demons that couldn't be defeated, so all the male gods got together and put all their power into one form, and that was Durga. So.
And there's like a little version of her there, and there's a banana.
Yeah, that's an offering.
An offering, and there's a dollar. And like all of these, she's surrounded by black marble. She's very shiny. She's got a lot of sparkling things on her, and so it reflects on the black marble.
Now this is Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth and prosperity. As you,
she's got wallpaper which is made out of dollar bills,
and she's got a gold coin in her hand.
And she's got $5 bills hanging down from her, and
$10 bills.
Yeah.
And in her crown,
Lakshmi is the consort of Vishnu and the goddess of wealth. Krishna is the ninth and most celebrated incarnation of Lord Vishnu. His teaching, which is summarized in the Bhagavad Gita, profoundly influenced Indian theology, culture, and thought. His work is to reestablish balance in the world. And of course he's playing a flute. And then the little aspect of him is riding his bull.
No, he's not riding a bull. That's a cow. He loved cow. Radha, what they called his childhood sweetheart, was a cow herd, a milkmaid.
His childhood sweetheart is the basis of devotion and inspiration of all Hindus.
This is Ganesh, the elephant-headed god, very, very popular god, often shown with a fat belly. But he's an elephant and he's a remover of obstacles. He can smash things down. He's got all the strength of an elephant. And his vehicle is a mouse or rat, yes. Mm-hmm. And you can see it's symbolic, really, because an elephant can get down obstacles by smashing them, whereas a mouse or a rat can get past them by creeping in. So it's another symbol of the energy that this deity represents.
In all new undertakings in Hindu tradition are launched by invoking Ganesha, the elephant-headed god. He is known as the prime remover of all obstacles, who clears the path to success. He is the oldest son of the divine household of Shiva. And Shiva is part of the Holy Trinity of Hinduism and is the destroyer of all evil. He's also the god of dance and meditation. His consort is Parvati, and he rides Nandi, the divine bull. He is also known as Gangadhara, since he contains the fury of the river Ganga in his locks. He dwells in the snow-clad Himalaya mountains, and his abode is called Kailasa. Shiva is often worshipped in the form of Shiva Linga.
which you see there, a lingam. This is a form of Shiva.
And it's not in a human form.
No, it's a lingam. It's the most abstract, unpictured form of the god. And often in Shiva temples, that form is in the most inner sanctum, whereas in the outer layers of the temple, like round here, you'll get a more human appearance. Mm-hmm. But this is the most abstract.
It just looks like the coils of a silver cope. It
represents the female aspect. So that's a circle, and then there's the lingam.
Which is this black object coming
above like a black pillar.
And a cobra above it.
Protecting it. And in the front of him, you see, is his bull, Nandi.
Mm-hmm.
What they call his vehicle. He's sometimes depicted as riding on it. In a way, it's another aspect of him.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and this is Local Talk. Today we are talking about Hinduism in anticipation of
Deepavali, this Festival of Lights,
on February 17th. KHOI reporter Deborah Bunka went to Woodward to speak with Mr. Patel, who is the owner of AJ's Grocery Store on Main Street in Woodward. He served on the city council for 16 years and 6 years as mayor of Woodward. And Mr. Patel was instrumental in the founding of the Hindu temple. He describes a little bit more about the origins of the temple and what it means to be an Indian immigrant in central Iowa.
I'm talking with Ashvin Patel, talking about the founding of the Hindu temple by Madrid. Hello, Mr. Patel.
Hello.
I wanted to ask you about the founding of the temple, how the site near Madrid was chosen. It's, 3 miles south of Madrid?
Right.
And can you tell me how that site was chosen?
Well, in Hindu religious, we have to have our temple right on the bank of the river. And luckily, this land was owned by one of our patron, Dr. Sahai, and he was willing to donate that land to us to the temple. So we decided to build the temple right on the bank of river, Des Moines River, and I can say this is only one temple in a whole United States. It's right on bank of river.
The only temple in the whole United States?
Right.
That is located right on a river?
Right on the river.
Which is important in Hindu religion.
Yes.
The expression of that religion.
Right. We do have lots of other temples in all over the country, in Chicago, Denver, all over. But it's a bigger temple, but they didn't have this opportunity to have right on bank of river.
So Dr. Sahai donated the land, but you still had to come up with a lot of money.
Right.
So how did that happen?
We do have some generous people. They make donation, and they have some pledge that they do every year. And, yeah, money is a little tight right now with this economy, but people, they are making effort to pitch in whatever they can. And it's coming out okay. We are not getting in hole yet, I should say. But everybody's pitching real good, and it's coming out real okay.
And there is another place of worship in Cedar Rapids, but you said that's inside a building?
It's not the temple. It's in some old church or something. They had bought it. I had never been there yet, but I heard about it. There is another temple. They made it, which is good. But this is the unique temple. It's just traditional Indian built. We had people, they came from India to build this temple, and they was here for 4 to 5 years, about 10, 15 peoples. And they had done everything from scratch. It's just traditional Hindu religious temple.
And it's absolutely beautiful. There are carvings of gods and goddesses, deities, on the outside. And the inside, the actual temple,
that
is spectacularly beautiful.
Well, inside the temple, whatever, we have statues of deities, those we had imported from India, because those are special made from marble. But whatever they had done it outside, they had done by their talent. Means those people, they are so talented that they can make anybody's statue identical. And they had done an excellent job.
So the people that come to worship at the temple, are they all of one religious sect? Because in India, of course, there are many different sects.
Right.
Is that the case here?
It is that case, but everybody's pitching as a Hindu religious. And what they believe, that whatever they had believed in India, they will mix together here. Because in India, we have like too many different states, and each state has their own religious. But one religious is only Hindu. But everybody had different way to how to worship the God. And we all came together, and we are just trying to work it out whatever we can as a Hindu religious.
So about how many members does the temple have?
We don't have a set membership. It's open for the public. And I should say nearly sometime we have about 800 to 900 people come for worship sometime. So we don't have a membership for the Hindu temple.
What was the motivation behind building the temple?
People who come from India, they didn't have nowhere to go for worship, so we decide to have our own temple so people, they can come together and then they can have prayer together, and they have their own culture, keeping track with their young kids. And with the temple, we do have like some Indian original classes going on for like language and mathematics, and there's too many things going on for young kids also that we teach them as a mathematics and science and everything also there. But with that, we teach them our Indian language also.
So there's language lessons, there's academics, and there's worship.
Right.
The location of the temple is in what is largely an immigrant Swedish population. How was that accepted in the community?
When we decide to build the temple, we had like community-wide meeting with the surrounding area, like Granger and Madrid. So people, they had came and they had concern, whatever they had concern, they had bring it up to our committee, and we had answered those questions. With that, we had make sure that we are not trying to take over somebody's land or somebody's religious or whatever. Hindu religious is just open for the public. Whoever want to believe, they are most welcome. I belong to the Methodist Church. I'm Hindu, but I'm proud to be Methodist also. So that's telling you that Hindu religious is not the set stone that they have to believe in that. But only one thing, I personally believe that wherever I feel to worship the God, I can go.
You are from India yourself?
Yes, I am.
And your wife is also?
She's from India too.
How did you end up in Woodward, Iowa?
Well, we came in U.S. in 1980. Then we was in Chicago for 5 to 6 years. And then we moved in 1986 in Woodward, Iowa, which is biggest concern was for my kids, because I didn't have my family life in Chicago, that I wasn't spending that much time with my kids. So that's why I took my income downward, and we came in Woodward, and we are happy. This is just like my hometown. People, they are so nice. This is my 26th year in Woodward, and we are happy for it.
And you had told me that you ran for city council?
Yeah, I was a city council member. Can you take that one in the back?
That's good, that's fine. So I'd asked you about your time on city council in Woodward. How many years did you serve on the city council?
I served on city council for 16 years, and I was mayor pro tem for my last four-year term. And I'm happy with it. So, and proudly, I should say I'm the first Indian American who became a city council member there. I was the first one in the state of Iowa.
So you're a citizen now?
Yeah, I'm a citizen since a long time, and since 1987.
I guess you'd have to be, or you couldn't have been mayor, right?
Right.
So you really like it here in Woodward a lot?
Oh, yeah. I love this community, and it's a great community, and people, they know each other. It's just like a hometown. Wherever I go, I will say, I'm from Woodward. I'm not going to say that I'm from India, from such and such town, but I'm from Woodward.
I talked to someone earlier, and we'll be playing a clip of what she says, but she was saying that when there was Temple was starting to be built, that it was around 9/11 approximately, and she said that there seemed to be confusion amongst some people between Hindus and Muslim.
Right.
They're a culture that have needed a place to pursue their worship desires, and I think for the most part there's a little more traffic than there used to be, but I think other than that it really hasn't changed anything much. And mostly they just wanted a place that they could pursue their religion, just as most of us that are in this country pursue ours, you know, free from any kind of interference. Originally, because it came in not long after the 9/11, there were a lot of people who equated Hindus with Muslims, and there was a lot of vandalism with signs going down.
Did you feel the effects of that at all?
Yes, we did feel in beginning. In beginning, one time, like when we put our sign, Hindu Temple and Cultural Center, somebody had cut their sign away and threw it away. So there was a kind of mixed feeling that people was not sure what we are going to do. But then when we had community-wide meeting with the people, which is American people, I should say, and we explained them who we are and what we're going to do it, and people, they had felt much comfortable after we had our meeting. We had done about like couple, three times different meetings in different communities also. But once we had meeting with this community, and so people, they feel much comfortable. And right now we have lots of American people, they come for tour. We have some school, they come like every couple months, bring their kids at the temple, and they have tour going set up for all the time.
Your temple is open to the public.
Right.
Is it open all the time, or is it open certain hours?
We have certain hours, like on weekdays, we have like morning 8 to 12, and then our priests, they come back at 5 o'clock, then they open 5 to 8. But on Saturday, Sunday, they open from morning to night, like morning 8 to 8 at evening.
If someone were just immigrating, or if they were coming here, say, to do an appointment of some term at the university, is the temple a place for them to gravitate, to find their way into the community, both the Indian community and the larger community?
Right, and that would temple, we try to help people when they come from India to stay in U.S., or temporary, we try to help them. We try to educate them about our culture here and American culture, and whatever we can help, we do help them and make them feel that they are welcome and they are not going somewhere else, that they don't know anybody.
You had a lot of support to get the temple off the ground and get it built. You brought people from India to design and build it. What plans do you have for the future for it?
Well, in future, we are planning to build another cultural center, which could hold maybe another 1,000 people or so. Because right now, this temple is kind of too small for us, because our community is growing right now. our membership, like a, not paid membership, but people they patronizing with the temple. And some events, we run out space at the temple. With that, we are starting classes for the young kids, so we need some more space. So we are in process to build cultural center for the temple.
And that will be on the same grounds?
It will be on the same ground next to temple, and we try to, that's our plan, that we're going to try to make it as a gymnasium hall, so kids, they can come and play basketball or volleyball also. We'll have stage, we'll have big kitchen, which is we can use as our food processing. Plus, if we have some weddings or something comes up, we can hold that one too.
For you personally, what has the building of this temple meant for you?
For personally myself, I feel so great when I go to temple. I forget everything what I had my worried in my life. Even one point in time, I should say, I can forget my family too. When I go to temple, it's just peace of mind and just make different atmosphere that you are with the holy place. And that's a temple for it. Temple can make you comfortable and make you a lot easier in your life, that you have another worries, you forget those things. So personally for myself, it's a great tool for me to take it easy.
And then for the broader community, for the diaspora of the Indian community, what has it meant for them to have this temple?
People, they are really feeling real fortune, and they are really happy for it that we got the temple in Iowa, and especially on bank of river, because we use the river for so many time to do our worship. And we do take permission from the DNR also. We don't, because that place is not owned by Hindu temple, but it's DNR place. So whenever we need to go to the river, we do take the permit or permission from the DNR also. So we are not taking over our government also. We are trying to work with them. And Dallas County, they are really lucky that we got the temple. And our Dallas County supervisor office, they are working real close with the temple also. Sheriff department, they are working real close. Same thing with Madrid Police Department also. When we need any help for trafficking, they do help us. Madrid Fire Department also be on call at our fireworks time also. So it's working out real community effort, and we are really fortunate that we got this temple in Iowa. I urge people to come and visit the temple. It's nothing that they are going anywhere else. When people come to visit the temple, they are most welcome from anybody at the temple also. If they need any help or anything, they can talk to our priest, or there might be some committee members around there, and they can help them also. So we would like to tell and invite people in our state of Iowa that they can come and take a look what this Hindu temple is for. And we do appreciate, and if they come, they can have whatever they feel like to do it. Just only they have to follow our some rules that how to enter the temple.
Be respectful, in other
right.
words.
Right. And we do have some, lots of visitors, and they do come and they follow our rules and regulations. We don't allow people to take the pictures inside the temple, but outside you can take the pictures too.
And there's lots of beautiful things to take pictures of there. And you have, please correct my pronunciation, Diwali?
Diwali, yeah.
And that is the Festival of Light?
Festival of Light. Yeah, that one is coming up next week on November 17th. We are celebrating at the temple. And it's celebration going to start from 5 o'clock to sunset. At sunset, we're going to have fireworks also. We do have that fireworks since 7 years now. So we are celebrating traditionally Diwali on that day.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very
I
much.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you for giving me a chance. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is KHOI Community Radio, Local Talk, and we've been talking about and with Hindu members of our community. This is in anticipation of the Festival of Lights on February 17th.
Diwali, and everyone's welcome. It was a few years back, but I went to one of the Diwali festivals, and it's a very good time. Lots of good food, fireworks, people in beautiful clothes celebrating, chanting, and singing. It's a party atmosphere, really.
And as the priest said, there's more than 1,000 people that come. They have tents, they have heaters.
If they need them, yes, they expand out onto the lawn with tents and heaters.
And the dinner begins at 5?
I think so, yes.
And it goes into the night. And again, to visit the temple, take Highway 17 off of Highway 30, just east of Boone. And a few miles south of Madrid, you'll see the temple just a little west of the road. The website for the temple is iowatemple.org. That's iowatemple.org, and there's a thorough description of various events that are open to the public. The public is welcome.
The temple does have open houses for non-Hindus to learn about Hinduism, so look out for those on the website as they update it from day to day.
This is a beautiful part of our community that allows us to see exactly what a temple looks like in India.
It imparts incredible richness to our culture because the temple itself is a work of art. There's lots of works of art inside it, in the statues of the deities, and in the music, the song, and the ceremonies that go on there. So it's a great enrichment of our culture here in Iowa.
And connects us to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Reporters this week were Kay Pata, Debbie Bunka, and myself, your host, Ursula Rudenberg. This show was engineered by Rick Morrison. The theme song for our show is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their album The Ballad of Kay Shelley. Thank you for being with us today, and see you again on the radio.